stars. There's so much that I can't see. Who knows? I felt it from the first embrace I shared with you.
Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN. Oh, I love that song so much. And it got nominated for an Academy Award. It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. It's Wild Card Wednesday. Any artist, any song, anything, get those requests in. 312-981-7200. So, Eric Childress, who joins us every Monday morning along with Colin Suter to review the new movies, is in Utah at Sundance. This is his 15th year going to the Sundance Film Festival and exclusively covering it for our show here and giving us previews of all the movies that he sees there. And these are a lot of new movies that we're going to get a chance to see in the coming weeks and months ahead. So this is like exclusive previews of stuff that will be coming out soon. But the Academy Award nominations were announced yesterday morning. And so we want to discuss that for a little bit. And then we'll talk about some of the movies that that Eric has seen just in the past few days in at Sundance. So let's welcome Eric to the show. Hey, Eric.
Hello.
Hey, you did pretty well on your predictions.
I didn't do too bad.
Yeah.
Not too bad.
Yeah. I mean, I think there were actually, I think you nailed about what, how many categories did you actually nail? Like, I got all the nominees.
Well, I nailed actor, I nailed supporting actress, and I nailed best picture.
Yeah, you did.
Two. Yeah.
Yeah, you did. All right. Well, very good. So let's go through this. La La Land with 14 nominations.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I thought I might have been overreaching a little bit when I said I was going to have 13 nominations, but I mean, it got both of the song nominations.
Yeah.
So,
and boy, people like it.
Yeah, they certainly do, for good reason. Obviously, it's a technically proficient film. I mean, and it's got the performances; it's got everything going for it.
Yeah.
So it's the third film in history to get 14 nominations.
And I know Titanic was one. Was it Ben-Hur?
What? All About Eve.
All About Eve.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's the company La La Land shares right now.
Well, you know what? Good. It was my favorite movie of the year. I love it, and all this all this praise that's being heaped upon it. And I know that there are now the backlash haters are out there.
Oh God, yes.
But I don't care.
Yeah.
I just don't care.
The movie is some referendum on jazz or something.
I unabashedly adore every frame of the movie. I've seen it 7 times. And I'm pleased as punch that it got 14 Oscar nominations.
Yeah, I think you'll be very happy on Oscar night.
I think so, too. I got a strong feeling that it's going to go La La Land's way. I really do. Let's talk about Best Picture. La La Land, Moonlight, Manchester by the Sea, Arrival, Fences, Lion, Hidden Figures, Hacksaw Ridge, Hell or High Water. No real surprises there, right?
No, not really. I mean, it's one of those years you never know how many they're going to predict. And so I started with 8, and then I said if they did 9, they were to nominate Hacksaw Ridge, and that's what happened.
That's what they did.
Hacksaw Ridge did incredibly well.
I know. I was kind of surprised. I was definitely surprised that Mel Gibson got nominated.
I was, too.
Yeah.
I was, too. I had him in the running.
Yeah.
But I didn't think they were going to pull the trigger on it.
Yeah. No, they did.
Yeah.
Let's see. So let's just talk about Best Director then. Damien Chazelle for La La Land, Barry Jenkins for Moonlight, Denis Villeneuve for Arrival, Kenneth Lonergan for Manchester by the Sea. The only surprise here, Mel Gibson, Hacksaw Ridge.
Yeah, I think that fifth slot was pretty much up for grabs. I think anyone who occupied that spot would not have been too much of a surprise. Again, I don't think Gibson is an incredible surprise. But I think many people are just like, well, you know, good on him. He's going to get the nominations, but we're not going to nominate him yet. But, you know, he's back in the fold.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny because the fact that he got nominated I thought was a surprise. But I actually thought that there was going to be a chance Denzel would get nominated in both categories.
There was a chance.
Yeah.
I kind of dismissed him a little bit just because I figured that the director's branch might not nominate him because, you know, I mean, he did the play, and he did kind of a stagey adaptation of the play, and I thought that maybe they might go for someone like David McKenzie for Hell or High Water, which is a little more, you know, there's a lot more set pieces, and, you know, there's a lot more going on in that movie. So.
And August Wilson. August Wilson got the adaptation a nomination.
Yeah, he did. Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's best actress in a leading role. A couple of surprises here, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Natalie Portman and Jackie, Emma Stone, La La Land, Isabelle Huppert for Elle, Meryl Streep for Florence Foster Jenkins, which just goes to prove that they will nominate her for anything.
Yeah, especially if she gives an anti-Trump speech the week that the voting is going on.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I love Meryl Streep. But
right.
Florence Foster Jenkins is not a very good movie, and she's fine in it.
Right.
But, I mean, there were much better performances that could have been nominated. I was happy to see Ruth Negga got nominated for Loving. Very happy to see that.
Everyone's very – that's the one that, you know, even though there are some snubs in this particular category, that's the one that everyone is just like, oh, okay, we'll give you one of the other snubs. At least she got in.
Yeah. I'm a little disappointed, quite frankly, that Amy Adams didn't get nominated for Arrival because I thought she was great in it.
That is probably the biggest snub of the day, is that because everything that she had going for her, all the precursors and whatnot, suggested that she was a lock. That there was nothing standing in her way that she had. Like, all the other actresses who had received what she'd received leading up to today had all been nominated. So that's going to throw that algorithm off a little bit now.
It's funny because I was when I watched the very weird way that they announced the winners. I watched it streaming, you know, yesterday morning.
Mm-hmm.
It was very strange. No press conference. So it was just weird. And when they started the category with Isabelle Huppert, I went, "What?"
Right.
Because they go alphabetically, and I was like, "Wait a minute, Adam starts with A." What's going on here? All right, best actor in a leading role. None of these are a surprise. Well, you know, I can't believe Viggo Mortensen is getting praised for Captain Fantastic.
I can't believe it either.
I mean,
we were talking about it here at Sundance yesterday. We had a debate. We were there because I said that Viggo was going to get in, and there was some suggestion that Tom Hanks was going to get in for Sully. I'm like, no, I don't think so. I mean, we were all rooting against Viggo for this particular movie.
Yeah.
But for some reason, he held on all awards.
I don't understand.
And made it in.
And it's not that I don't like Viggo Mortensen, because he rules, and he's a great actor, but the movie sucked.
Right. It's horrible.
All right. Ryan Gosling, La La Land, Casey Affleck, Manchester by the Sea, Denzel Washington, Fences, Andrew Garfield, Hacksaw Ridge, and Viggo Mortensen. Is Casey Affleck the favorite here?
Yeah, I don't think there's any quite, unless there's some La La Land steam rolls and Ryan Gosling gets in, but mm-hmm. I don't think so. I think Casey Affleck tends to lose.
Okay. Supporting actress, Viola Davis in Fences, Michelle Williams, Manchester by the Sea, Octavia Spencer for Hidden Figures, Naomi Harris for Moonlight, Nicole Kidman for Lion. No surprises there, really.
No, I think that was the easiest category to predict, frankly. I mean, the sort of the ones on the fringe should be like Greta Gerwig for 20th Century Women, and like Lily Gladstone for Certain Women, and God knows that no one saw that movie.
Yeah.
So,
So, but it's, I think Viola Davis is a lock in this one.
Oh, please. That's the lock of the night.
Yeah.
Lock of the night.
Yeah. I loved her. I loved her in Fences, but man, I mean, any other year, Michelle Williams, come on.
I know. She's going to get hers at some point.
I know. She better. All right. Supporting actor, Mahershala Ali for Moonlight. My main man, Jeff Bridges for Hell or High Water. Lucas Hedges for Manchester by the Sea. Dev Patel for Lion. And the right guy, the right supporting actor from Nocturnal Animals, Michael Shannon, got his second nomination.
Yeah. And I blame the Golden Globes for throwing this all off, because those were my original five. And when Aaron Taylor-Johnson won the Globe, and then on top of that, he got a BAFTA nomination instead of Shannon as well. It threw everything off. And I think the stat that I looked up is that there hasn't been a Golden Globe winner for supporting actor that hasn't been nominated since Richard Benjamin for The Sunshine Boys in 1975.
Oh, my God. Seriously?
Yeah. That's the last time the winner of the Golden Globe for supporting actor was not nominated for an Oscar.
Wow.
So that's 40-some years.
Wow. Okay. And who's got the lock? Is there a lock on this one? Is this a tough one?
I think it seems a little tougher. I think the leaning is for Ali for Moonlight.
Yeah.
But, it seems more wide open than it actually is.
Yeah.
But I think that Ali might have the edge on that.
Okay. Documentary, O.J. Made in America, and the others.
Life Animated.
No, Life Animated got nominated. No, actually, all of the movies that are nominated are good.
Yeah.
It's just that O.J. Made in America is just
so far.
It's ridiculous. Foreign language film, Tony Erdmann, The Salesman, Land of Mine, A Man Called Ova, and Tana. Did you get all those right? I think you did, didn't you?
Oh, is that what? Yeah, I guess I did.
Yeah, you did.
Get those five.
Yeah. And we'll talk about best animated features, Zootopia. There were some surprises in here, too, I think.
Yes, one for certain.
Finding Nemo, or Finding whatever the hell. What's it called?
Finding Dory was
Finding
not.
Finding Dory, sorry. Finding Dory was not in there, but Zootopia, Kubo and the Two Strings, Moana, The Red Turtle, and My Life as a Zucchini. Some surprises there, but it's going to go to Zootopia, right?
I think so. Yeah, I mean, but you know, Kubo got a visual effects.
I know. So that was like my favorite. That was my favorite nominee of the morning.
Yeah, that was kind of cool. So I don't rule out Kubo.
Oh, well, I hope so.
There's clearly some love for it out there. I think Zootopia might still be the favorite, but I don't rule out Kubo yet.
Okay, good. And best adapted screenplay: Moonlight, Arrival, Lion, Fences, Hidden Figures. What are we looking at? Moonlight here.
Yeah.
Okay.
All day.
Original screenplay: La La Land, Hell or High Water, Manchester by the Sea, The Lobster, which I know you predicted it, but I never thought in a million years that movie would get a nomination. And 20th Century Women. Is it going to go to La La Land?
No, I think it's going to go to Manchester.
You think Manchester by the Sea? Okay.
Yeah.
And then we'll just do original song and we'll take a break here. How Far I'll Go by Moana, from Moana, City of Stars from La La Land, Audition, The Fools Who Dream, La La Land, Can't Stop the Feeling from Trolls. That was a surprise.
Yeah.
The Empty Chair from the James Foley story.
It's the Sting song, I understand.
Yeah. So, all right.
I've never heard of the movie, though.
So one of these is going to be La La Land, right? Don't you think?
I would think so, unless they split and they give it to Lin-Manuel Miranda for Moana.
That's true, because he is Hamilton.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well,
Hollywood loves Hamilton.
Well, I mean, I don't think there are going to be a ton of surprises on Oscar night.
No.
As we just said, some of the categories are a little bit tighter than others, but I think we kind of know there's going to be a bit of a landslide for La La Land.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And I think Jimmy Kimmel will do a great job.
I'm sure he will.
Yeah. I think he's great. All right, Eric, hang on.
Okay.
And Eric, by the way, is in Utah at the Sundance Film Festival. We're going to take a break for the news. And after the news, we will get a whole bunch of reviews of brand new movies that Eric has seen at the Sundance Film Festival exclusively here on the show. The news is coming up next here on 720 WGN.
If I go, there's just no telling how far I'll go. I know everybody on this island seems so happy.
Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. It's Wednesday, Wild Card Wednesday. Get your requests in at 312-981-7200. Any artist, any song, anything. 312-981-7200. Coming up a little bit later on, we are going to talk with Bob Medea, who is our resident Sherlock Holmes expert. Lots of stuff to talk about in the world of Sherlock Holmes, including the BBC series finale. We'll talk about that and much more. And since it's Oscar, the Oscar nominations came out yesterday, we'll talk a little bit more about that later, take your thoughts on it, and we'll talk about actors who have never been nominated for an Academy Award, many of the names on the list are surprising. You can't believe that some of these people haven't been nominated. We are also going to talk about some of the great movies of 2016 that the Academy completely ignored, and that'll be coming up a little bit later on as well. Right now, we're talking with Eric Childress, who joins us. By the way, that was from Moana, which is How Far I'll Go, which got nominated for Best Original Song for the Academy Awards. And Eric is in Utah at the Sundance Film Festival. It's his 15th year going, and he always gives us reports on some of the movies that he's seen. Okay, so you've been there since Thursday, right, Eric?
Yes, I have.
And how many movies total now?
Let's see, the 26.
Jeez.
I saw 7 movies on Monday.
You saw 7 movies on Monday?
Yeah.
Wow, man.
Yeah, I was able to, the schedule just kind of worked itself out, and I was going movie to movie to movie.
That's nuts.
It was very nuts. And then I woke up for the Oscar nominations like an idiot.
Oh.
So I'm on about 3 hours and 20 minutes sleep from the previous night.
Wow, man. And so now Wednesday, today is Wednesday.
Yes.
And it's your last day there, correct?
Yes.
All right. How many movies are you going to see today?
I might see one.
Oh, okay.
I'm leaving later this afternoon.
Okay.
So there's only time for one movie, and I might sleep in tomorrow.
Okay. All right. Oh, that makes sense. That makes sense. Yeah. I mean, look, 26 movies is a lot, man.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I would be fine with it too. All right. Well, wherever you want to start, man. Let's hear some stuff.
Well, the big deal that actually just went down on Tuesday, Fox Searchlight finally got into the game. Everyone was sort of waiting to see what Fox Searchlight was going to be their big pickup this year. And there was a sort of a big surprise that came out of the festival yesterday called Patty Cakes. It debuted yesterday, and story of a woman in her early 20s, an overweight woman played by Daniel McDonald, who lives in kind of the doesn't have a lot of money. Her mom, played by Bridget Everett, used to be an 80s rock star, but she's also let herself go. She's become an alcoholic. And her daughter, Patty, wants to be a rapper. She does rap-offs and things like that in the street and practices all the time. And it just becomes sort of her journey to potentially breaking out and finding her talent and, becoming one with the rap world. So you get kind of a familiar story here. I mean, we've seen, obviously we've seen 8 Mile and the Hustle and Flow from many years ago was a big hit here at Sundance. And this was, turned out to be actually a real crowd pleaser. It's very, very easy to see how audiences who do find this movie and take a chance on it will be pleasantly surprised at the way this plays out. It's an R-rated movie. It's a movie about a rap culture.
Right.
So it's not going to appeal to everybody, but it has that, that underdog kind of feel to it that people are really going to pick up on. I think the music is really good in the film. I think the lead actress, Daniel McDonald, is quite good. And there's some really nice supporting performances, a very diverse, unknown cast for the most part. And Fox Searchlight paid $10.5 million for this, which is kind of interesting. I mean, considering that how burnt they got last year at Birth of a Nation.
Yeah.
And even the year before with Me and Earl and the Dying Girl, which they paid $12 million for that as well.
Yeah.
Their last couple pickups, the degrees of quality, obviously, have not turned out too well for them financially. So I don't know if this was a statement for them that they just wanted to get something out there. They were in bidding wars for other films like The Big Sick, which we talked about, coming out of the Johnny film.
Yep.
But this is the one that they've come through with. So.
All right. That's called Patty Cakes, and it got picked up by Fox Searchlight. All right.
Yeah.
All right. What do you want to go to next?
Let's go to a film that already had distribution coming into the fest. It got picked up, I think, just before the fest started or right in the first day of the fest. It's a film by called Call Me By Your Name.
Okay.
And this is another film that once people saw it, the buzz really just kind of exploded here. The Twitter was kind of off the chain. And it's the latest film from Luca Guadagnino, who did A Bigger Splash last year, also did I Am Love.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And
interesting filmmaker.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And this, I think, is by far his greatest work so far. It's a movie set in the early 80s, I think it's 1983. It's set in Italy, where a family led by Michael Stuhlbarg has his teenage son, and he invites sort of a protege out to spend some time with him. It's played by Armie Hammer. They deal in the art world, statues and artifacts and things like that. And the son, the 15 or 16-year-old son, begins to sort of come into his own sexually, and he starts to discover that he has kind of an attraction towards Armie Hammer's character. And Armie Hammer sort of slowly reveals himself as a bisexual man. And there's this kind of really sometimes subtle, sometimes very unsubtle dance that between the two of them, discovering exactly where this relationship is going to go, whether it's appropriate, whether or not they should act upon these things. And I've heard a lot of people describe this movie as very hot and horny.
Mm-hmm.
And you can absolutely describe it as that, but it's also incredibly tender. It's a movie about being true to our own desires and not only not taking it for granted, but not letting anyone dispute what's in your own heart and your own what's going on with your own body. Michael Stuhlbarg has a monologue at the end of this film that I think every parent should deliver to their children at least once.
Mm.
It is one of the greatest monologues I have heard in some time in a film.
Oh, wow.
It's absolutely striking. This movie, I mean, the movie's over 2 hours long. The kid who plays the boy, his name is Timothy Chalamet, and he actually played the son of Matthew McConaughey in Interstellar.
At what? Oh, the earliest parts?
Yes, before he became Casey Affleck.
Okay, all right, before he became Casey Affleck, right. Okay, right. Yeah, he was good.
Yeah, and he's incredible.
Oh, is he?
In this movie.
Yeah,
this is an absolute leap forward. Army Hammer is actually very good as well.
Wow.
Michael
Stolberg is one of my favorite actors. The guy's unbelievable.
Yeah, and I mean, I know, you know, he's been in a lot of high-profile things lately. He was in Arrival, obviously.
Yeah, right.
It seems like sometimes they don't know exactly how to use him.
Yeah.
Best, I think he's used very well in Steve Jobs from last year. But
and I will say this: I thought the Coen brothers used him remarkably well in A Serious Man, which is
an
amazing performance.
Yeah, his breakout film role,
yeah,
clearly.
Yeah.
And but this one, he's very low key throughout. This is very much a story between Armie Hammer and Chalamet. But I'm telling you, when he breaks off this monologue at the end of the movie, you're going to lose it.
Okay. All right, and that's called Call Me By Your Name, and it already had distribution going into the fest, right?
Yeah, Sony Classic has it, and it'll be coming out probably sometime later this year. And I think Luca Guadagnino is doing the Suspiria remake.
He is doing the Suspiria remake.
Yeah, which I'm hearing will be ready in time for Cannes.
No.
That's what I'm hearing.
Oh, man, I just am so upset about that. Honest to God, man, there's no – what are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Know.
I mean, it's Argento. You can't.
No.
No one has that insane sensibility but Argento. And I know the cast is awesome, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right, so that's going to be ready by May, hopefully.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So he'll have two movies out this year then.
That's right.
Okay. All right, Call Me By Your Name is the name of that movie. Mm-hmm. Highly, highly recommended. One of the best ones you've seen at the fest, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. All right, where do you want to go next?
Well, we got to go to the film that I texted you about before.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. The surprise midnight screening this year, and there have been some of these surprise screenings over the last few years have not exactly inspired much enthusiasm.
Yeah.
Last year was Eddie the Eagle.
Oh.
The year before was Jupiter Ascending.
Well.
I know. Whatever. Please. That doesn't, you know, as crazy as you want to admit that movie is, that doesn't exactly inspire anyone when that shows up as a surprise screening.
Right.
But anyway, but this year's surprise screening turned out to be Get Out.
Yes.
Jordan Peele's comics horror satire that I urge people, if they have not seen the trailer, don't watch it.
Okay.
I'm urging that. I'm sure you've seen the trailer.
I have. I mean, they showed it. They showed it. But it was here's a funny thing, Eric.
Yeah.
They showed it before Split when my parents and I went to go see Split.
Sure.
So they showed it before Split. Yeah. The trailer ends. My dad turns to me. He goes, "Oh, we got to see that."
Yeah.
My dad. And then I tell him, "Well, you know, Dad, because my dad, you know, he knows of Key and Peele."
Yeah.
You know, I turned him on to it, and, you know, he loves the football, the college football stuff. He loves the substitute teacher, all the classic stuff. So he's aware of Key and Peele, but he didn't recognize, you know, it said from the mind of Jordan Peele. My dad didn't recognize the name. So I was like, "Do you know who wrote and directed this?" And he's like, "No." I said, "Peele of Key and Peele." He's like, "Oh, no. Oh, yes." And I was like, "Okay."
And he's not in it. He's just a writer behind the camera on this thing.
Right.
And, I mean, the basic premise of the movie is that I don't have the actor's name in front of me who plays the lead in the film, unfortunately.
Lakeith Stanfield.
No, he doesn't play the lead.
Oh, okay.
I think the IMDb is out of order.
It's
further down in the list.
Daniel Kaluuya?
Yes. Yes, he played the Emily Blunt's partner in Sicario.
Oh, yeah, that's him. That's him, yeah.
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 So him, and he's not engaged, but he's in a strong relationship with Allison Williams from Girls.
Right.
And she's going to bring him home to his parents' house in the countryside. And he goes there.
To her parents' house.
To her parents' house.
Right.
Yes. And he goes there, and he begins to discover that the neighborhood is, shall we say, very white. I'm going to dance around this as best as I can.
Right.
And that the few black people in town seem to be well, a little off, and maybe enjoying their role in this neighborhood a little too much. Bradley Whitford and Catherine Keener play her parents. Caleb Landry Jones, who just seems to always play a psychopath,
yes,
plays her brother. And it's, you know, again, if you haven't seen the trailer, I urge you not to do it, because they give away so much in the trailer. Mm. I had not seen it going into the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So and for you, it's not going to matter, because you're going to love the hell out of this movie. And your dad, you're both going to love the hell out of this movie.
Yeah. Okay.
So it doesn't matter what you've seen or haven't seen.
Yeah.
But for someone who went in sight unseen, all I was just hoping, I mean, I was not a big fan of Keanu. So
yeah.
I was curious to see how this was going to play out. And let me tell you something. This is a horror movie.
Mm.
It has a lot of good laughs in it. I mean, you can definitely describe it as a horror comedy. But, you know, he plays this movie pretty straight. You know, and in a great way, actually. And there's a lot of really interesting things going on in this movie. Clearly, this is a film just targeting race relations and the black people's role in the South, particularly amongst like white aristocrats and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
There are twists and turns. Again, if you've seen the trailer, you've probably seen way too many of them, frankly.
Right.
But I think what you're gonna love about this movie is that as straight as he plays it for like the first hour, 75 minutes, then he brings it.
Yeah.
In the last 15, 20 minutes of this movie, it pays off really well. It's a lot of fun. It's funny. It really has a sharp sense of satire to it. You will love this movie,
yeah.
And I think a lot of people who do go see it will like it as well.
Okay, it's called Get Out, but stay away from the trailer.
If you
can avoid the trailer, it's like a Robert Zemeckis trailer. If you can avoid the trailer,
it might be worse.
Oh God! So that's Get Out. And by the way, it comes out February 24th. It'll be out February at the end of next month.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I can't wait to see it. I'm very excited about it.
Yeah.
And I'm just curious to see what Chelsea Peretti thinks of it. I don't know. So, yeah, just like, hey, honey, what's going on here? So hang on, Eric, okay?
Okay.
All right, there you go. Eric Childress giving us the exclusive stuff. Get Out, directed and written by Jordan Peele, comes out February 24th, and it's going to rule. All right, more reviews from Eric coming up right after we take this quick break. Yeah. Stop Feeling from Trolls, one of the original song nominees for the Academy Awards. We'll talk more about the Academy Awards, the nominations, coming up a little bit later on. We will also talk about actors who shockingly have never been nominated for an Academy Award. And we'll talk about some of the movies that were ignored by the Academy this year. And Bob Medea is going to join us to talk all things Sherlock Holmes. That'll be coming up right after the news. Let's get to Eric Childress again, who is in Sundance at the festival and giving us reviews of some of the movies. So what do we got next for movies here for at Sundance?
I got a couple movies that have a little bit of music influence in them.
Okay.
One of them is called The Polka King.
The Polka King.
Yes, and this one stars Jack Black as the Polka King.
Oh, boy.
And this is based on a true story of a man, I think, I believe his name was Jan de Vaan, who in the early 1990s was a polka singer. He had a band, did local gigs and stuff, and he was hoping to really just sort of expand his version of the American dream, build the business up, and he basically began taking investments from people who he promised would pay back, and it kind of just basically turned into one big giant Ponzi scheme that he just kind of spun out of control until he, you know, got himself arrested. Like I said, this is a true story. Jack Black plays the Polka King. Jenny Slate plays his wife in the film, a former beauty queen who wants to become a beauty queen again at a later age. And the circumstances involved on how that actually turns out. But this is kind of one of those classic generic Sundance comedies that watching the movie based on a true story, all I could think about, two things like all I could think about during the movie. One, that I'd rather be watching Bernie, because it reminded me a lot of Bernie, which is a far superior film.
Terrific movie.
Yeah, great movie. And two, that I would rather be watching a documentary about the subject, because if the film is not going to deliver a lot of really good laughs, because this movie is supposed to be a comedy, and it's just going to go through the motions of showing us how he pulled this thing off or attempted to pull this thing off, then I'd rather learn more details in the documentary and see just how absurd the whole thing got, and it probably even more absurd than the movie actually is. It's just one of those kind of just middle of the road generic. Why am I even bothered watching this kind of movie?
I'm looking at the cast here. What does Vanessa Bayer do? Because I love her so much.
Okay, Vanessa Bayer is hired at one point. They hire a dancing bear for the polka band. And Vanessa Bayer plays the dancing bear.
All right. You know what? I don't care. I'm in.
You're in.
That's it.
She has like two lines of dialogue. One of them involves sleeping with someone in the band. And the rest of the time, she's just on the dance floor in the bear costume, smiling and, you know, doing that. That's all she does.
Okay, that's enough for me. Okay, we got time for one last one, Eric, before we let you go. So tell us your next one.
Okay, next one, actually a better film involving relationships and music, a movie called Band-Aid.
Okay.
And this is written, directed, and stars Zoe Lister-Jones, who is currently on the CBS show Life in Pieces. She had a wonderfully hilarious arc on New Girl a couple of years ago. She's been around for many years. We've talked about her in festivals before. Very funny actress. And in this movie, she plays she's in a married couple with Adam Pally. And they're going through some issues. They're not exactly a happy couple. Their dreams have sort of gone by the wayside. They haven't lived up to their expectations and stuff. And then all of a sudden, they're at a birthday party, and they pick up a couple children's guitars and start kind of working out their marriage through music. This is not a film where, kind of like Patty Cakes in a way, that is about necessarily them like going all the way to the top with their music. It's not one of those types of underdog stories. This is actually kind of a really kind of at times sharp commentary about how people can use art to work through to heal stuff. As the movie goes, you know, there's a lot of music in the movie. There's a lot of song creations in the film, all based upon the issues that they're having in their marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that a lot of the film works very well. The two of them have really good chemistry together, which sells a lot of the stuff, because the film does have some dramatic turns at times. And it just works. I mean, Adam Pally has been doing some really funny work in a lot of independent festival films lately.
Right.
And I think this is a nice leap for Zoe Lister-Jones, who I've been a fan of for many years, and I think she's both good with the writing and in front of the camera as well. So,
okay.
Band-Aid.
Okay, there you go. All right, well, Eric, you're going to either sleep in or see another movie, and then we'll do kind of another wrap-up on Monday when you come back, and just talk about some of the movies that we haven't had time to talk about.
Absolutely.
All right. See you later. Eric Childress live from Utah at the Sundance Film Festival. We're going to take a break. The news is coming up next on WGN.